Are you tired of the endless supply of terrible storytelling? Of uninspiring, nihilistic stories that permeate most of modern-day entertainment? Are you tired of the diversity, equality, and inclusion standards that are forced upon movie creators and actors? Well, so are we. So go with us on a journey as we chronicle for you the latest news in entertainment, as we discuss the good, the bad, and the ugly of the film industry, and as we pave a way forward to see the kingdom of Christ grow and the dragon of secularism meet its end. Now, if you want to support us in our mission, please head over to patreon.com/thePowell Bros, or follow the link in the show notes. There, you will gain access to our exclusive show, The Powell Bros Mini Reviews, as well as early access to both Movie Chronicles and Movie Reviews. Now, on with the show. Welcome, everyone, to the Powell Bros Movie Chronicles, one of our two podcasts. This one, we talk about everything going on in the world of pop culture and entertainment, and the movie industry, indie films, Hollywood, and spend most of our time trashing Disney, because they seem to be in the news a lot right now.
Yeah.
But, We have other studios to trash today, right?
Yeah, a few.
We try to find the good as well, find good things. I think I have a couple of good things I want to talk about.
Yeah, there's a few things happening.
This week, I swear, like I always think like, oh, there's no way we're going to have a bunch of topics a week from now to cover after we covered so much last week and the week before. And then this week happens and it's just like a whole ridiculous amount of things.
Yeah,
I'm still just
it's been crazy.
I don't know what to say. Just a lot, and can be a little jarring at times, and it's like, can we get some good stuff? Can we get some good news?
Well, I think the best news of all is that Chris Hemsworth Hulk Hogan biopic is no longer moving forward. No, I'm just kidding. It probably actually would have been pretty good. But no,
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah, Todd Phillips was going to direct it.
Really?
It was actually probably going to be pretty great.
Or they cancel it when he stood up at the RNC and ripped off his shirt to reveal his MAGA shirt.
Yeah, probably.
I don't know if I could see. Well, I don't know. Chris Hemsworth, he's a good actor. You could probably pull off a Hulk Hogan.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Plus, with all the makeup,
I'm thinking of his like mannerisms.
Yeah.
But that's interesting.
Yeah. But anyway, that got canceled or just isn't moving forward anymore. I don't know.
Well, let's start off with all the good news. Tobias, what else got canceled this week?
Ooh, The Acolyte season 2. So that got canceled. That's
and all the shills scream and horror.
Yeah, they started a petition and a whole 700 people signed.
Oh my gosh, did you see that article? That's so funny. It said, I took a picture of it.
Is it the Not the Bee article?
No, or it might have been, I don't know. But,
well, they shared the Not the Bee shared the article from Collider.
Okay.
Which said, petition to save the Acolyte already has hundreds of signatures from fans. Not thousands.
Not thousands.
Hundreds.
Not millions. Hundreds. That's so funny. And they're like totally serious about it, I hope.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, that's nothing. But that's the thing is, I mean, there's so much to say about this, but the only people that liked it were those hundreds of fans that loved the agendas they were pushing, that were wanting these representations in Star Wars. They wanted to see themselves in these characters for whatever reason. When you used to be able to just do that with anyone, like Luke Skywalker and Obi-Wan Kenobi, mm-hmm. Anakin, and all the heroes. It doesn't matter what their skin. It's before people cared about what their skin color was, what their sexuality was, what their pronouns were. But now all these people with pronouns in their bios are losing their absolute minds because The Acolyte got canceled, and they're threatening Disney. Like, they're going after Disney. Disney, this was actually a bad thing for them canceling it, because now they've lost the little amount of fans that they had left are now gone, are hating them. They're like going after them. It's like, how dare you take this from me? How dare you listen to the bigots and the homophobes and the internet racists. The racists that are on YouTube and Twitter and all these things that bashed the Acolyte and that had nothing good to say about it. It's like, how dare you listen to them, Disney, and cancel the show? And they're losing their absolute minds because they don't get the season two. And it's because they know that we were right. We were right in that it wasn't good. It didn't tell. And put this agendas aside. It was a terrible story, terrible plot. Character motivations changed on a whim every 5 seconds. The acting was not good. Dialogue was awful. It was just a lot of repurposed stuff throughout from Star Wars that they put in the show to be like, oh yeah, we're a Star Wars show because we did the thing, we said the thing, we have Jedi, we have lightsaber fights. They hyped it up so much. There was so much. I remember, I just remember like seeing all the promotional stuff for the Acolyte. It was just everywhere. It was such a big deal before it came out, and then after it came out, everyone talked about it. But really, Disney started going kind of silent on it because they're like, oh, this is pretty bad. And the only people who were really talking about it were the people that hated it.
Yeah. Anyways. For sure. That's great.
So, Tobias, this actually may be the last time we talk about the Acolyte.
Yes, actually.
So, because there won't be a season two, so you don't have to worry about it. We won't have to talk about it anymore. We can lay it to rest.
Yeah, for sure.
Do you have anything to say about it?
Nothing else to say about the Acolyte. It's great. I mean, I love that it's over. So
yeah, and like the thing is, it just shows like all the numbers were coming out this past couple weeks, and it really was just it didn't get any views. It was like below the top 10 of original shows. Mm-hmm. So under top 10 of like most viewed original shows. And it was, like new originals.
Mm-hmm.
The numbers were below all the other Star Wars shows. It was Andor, I think, was the lowest watched Star Wars show before this, and it had half of Andor's views.
Yeah,
during its time, and a lot of the viewership dropped off after Episode 3. All right, that was the episode that ruined Star Wars once for all, and it was just the complete. bastardization of the force of Jedi of the patriarchal Star Wars that George Lucas created, because it is patriarchal. Even they'll admit that it is about fathers and sons. Yes, there's female characters. Yes, Leia is a female character. She, most of the time, she's a decent character. Somewhat. I gotta think about that a little more. But anyways. But there's Leia, and I don't know what I'm saying. It's just funny that they are reacting the way that they are. It's like no one watched it, no one cared, and even though like a lot of the people that were watching it and making videos about it and like bashing it, like me, it's like that didn't change anything. It's like people still, no one watched it. Normal people didn't show up for it. It didn't have fans. I mean, it had fans. It had very small amount of fans, but like normal Star Wars fans didn't care for it and want to go and watch it.
Yeah. No.
And what's funny is that the two most talked about and discussed Disney projects in the last 2 years were from Marvel and Star Wars. The one from Marvel was The Marvels, and that completely bombed at the theaters. Didn't even make $200 million. And then The Acolyte, which was a complete failure. Those are like the most discussed, because like when they put out, I mean, except for maybe Deadpool and Wolverine now, but I know, I think even the Marvels, like it, even leading up to it and afterwards, like people were, a lot of people were talking about it because of how terrible it was and what they were doing with this with the franchise, with Marvel and with these superheroes. Oh, and okay, one last thing.
Did you hear that?
Okay, I'm sorry. Well, there's just so much to talk. Okay,
no, you're good.
Did the online Disney store removed all the merchandise for The Acolyte? Did you see that? Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, granted, the Disney online Disney store doesn't have a whole lot of stuff anyway, so it really wasn't that much that they deleted off of it, but it was just interesting and funny that they did. Yeah. And the narrative continues to grow, like, oh, Disney just doesn't like this. The next thing is they're just going to take it off of Disney Plus, like they did with the Willow TV show.
Yeah.
Do you remember what happened with the Willow
show? Yeah, they took it just completely yeeted
it off of Disney Plus. You can't watch it anywhere. You get it. And it was for a tax write-off, so they might just do that with Acolyte. They lost so much money on it, $180 million.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't be surprised if they're going to be like, we have nobody watching it, so let's just get rid of it.
Right.
But, yeah. Do you want to move into The Office?
I didn't even have that on my list, because I knew there was 100 things I want to talk about. I forgot about that one.
Yeah. No, so they're rebooting The Office in Australia this time. So it was in England, and then it was America, now it's in Australia. And they are, let's see, I have her name. Let me see. So they're replacing Michael Scott with Michael Scott. Hannah Howard. So the character's name is Hannah Howard. And she's taking the spot of Michael Scott. And it's a girl. Playing
the manager role.
Playing the manager, leader, girl boss. And, yeah.
I think she's a comedian. Like, the actress.
Probably.
That they're putting in for this.
I'm sure she's super funny.
I'm sure she's hilarious.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be so awful.
Yeah.
So awful. It's going to be...
I probably won't watch it. I mean, reason I would watch these things now is just to make fun of it. And I just don't want to waste my time.
For our podcast is about it.
Pretty much.
I don't really have anything else to say about it.
Yeah, just... and this isn't to be confused with the actual, like, reboot that they're doing of The Office. Because they're
not the reboot, they're the extended show,
that's gonna be a sequel series.
Yes, there's a sequel series that's not the same cast, obviously, but takes place within the same universe as the original Office.
Which, as we've said before, you cannot make The Office in today's climate and make it good, or at least you cannot be politically correct and make The Office today.
Yeah.
I've been watching The Office again. I'm watching all the super fan episodes, which are like extended episodes where they include all the deleted scenes on Peacock. And such a good show.
We just watched all of it. And
oh, nice.
That's our last mini review. I did a mini review of season 9.
What? I didn't know that. Okay. Yeah. Well, I will have to check that out.
Yep.
Well, I can't, but I mean, I'll figure out a way.
Yeah, I can give you access. But our listeners, if you want to listen to it, you got to subscribe.
Join us on Patreon.
It helps support us and helps us be able to do this. We would not be doing it without the supporters that we have. And yeah, we definitely need you guys to be able to do this. So, definitely. So,
speaking of being politically correct, do you see that Michael Keaton made a comment about Beetlejuice, the new Beetlejuice movie, and said that Tim Burton was intentional in making sure that it remained politically incorrect, at least the character of Beetlejuice. So he's still going to be just his normal crude self that is going to, you know, say whatever the heck he wants and not going to worry about offending people. I don't know how far that he's going to go with that or what that even exactly means, but it's just interesting that he made that comment. Tim Burton didn't want to like change anything to please the the woke mob or anything.
That's great. I'm looking forward to that movie. It'll be fun.
And speaking of being black, gay, and disabled, did you hear about the new Amazon show?
Yeah. That's so ridiculous. The Queen of England is a guy that's black and You say and gay, gay and disabled.
And disabled. you can't make this stuff up. Like, that's a Babylon Bee article.
Oh, yeah.
But it's real.
Yeah, no, you know? For sure.
It's just,
yeah, it's so hilarious.
Funny. Amazon just said, okay, we're going to make a TV show about it's the King of England, right?
Yeah, yeah. I was just joking.
To make a joke. Okay, yeah. Yeah, the gender swapped Queen of England.
Yeah.
We're going to make him black. He's going to be a homosexual. Oh, and even better, just to keep pleasing everyone, let's
throw
him
in a wheelchair.
Disabled. Yeah. Let's put him in a wheelchair. It's like who in the disabled community, those who are, sadly in that position, how many of them are saying, oh, I just wish I saw some more representation of wheelchair people in Hollywood. Like, I just want to feel represented and feel like others care about me. I'm tired of watching people with legs. Stop producing content with leg people.
Yeah, I know.
It's offensive.
It's crazy.
It's funny.
Amazon is also making that Office show, the Australian Office. That's Amazon that's making
Prime.
It.
Right.
So Prime's just going all out. Which,
of course they are.
Yeah, we actually... Yeah, I mean, they're making... They also made the... ridiculous Rings of Power and
which is coming up soon. I still have to watch season one. I probably won't.
Yeah,
the more and the this our I guess we'll probably leave it for the end, but our last topic has made me so angry that I don't I'm just gonna go back to reading the books and forget about whatever content they want to give us.
Yeah, we can talk about Lord of the Rings at the end.
Oh, also speaking of wheelchair people, apparently, so Rainbow Six, which is a video game, it's a shooter game. Apparently, they've released like a wheelchaired playable character in the game, where your character can be in a wheelchair.
That's like, so like, ridiculous.
Are there actual disabled gamers that want to play as a guy in a wheelchair?
I know, like I don't get enough of it in real life. I want to play it. I want to do it in a video game.
In my movies, my TV shows.
Yeah. I just need to be reminded as much as possible of my misfortune.
Yeah. Exactly.
Did you see that there's a...
Oh, no. Go ahead.
Oh. So there's a few things on Joker. I don't know if you've seen those.
I don't think so.
So... the opening sequence for Joker 2, I'm talking about Joker 2, whatever, is it's gonna be animated in the style of Looney Tunes.
What?
The opening sequence is gonna be
Looney Tunes inspired
animation.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know why. Or what idea they have there, but that's going to be that.
I mean, it's something in his mind. Yeah. I mean, that could be interesting. I mean, I'm not going to, say it's dumb or anything. It's just, they can make it work.
Yeah. No, it's going to be an interesting movie. And then Todd Phillips wants people to not call it a musical. He's saying it's not a musical. Stop calling it a musical, even though it has as many songs as we said it had in it that they sing.
I thought they were marketing as a musical from the trailer, but also before, that's I guess everyone created that narrative probably it's a musical because they heard singing a bunch of songs in it.
Yeah,
interesting.
Yeah,
because it's supposed to be like 12 songs or something.
Yeah, no, we counted. It was more than High School Musical. So,
oh yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, it'll be interesting.
I'm more hopeful about it than if he's saying it's not a musical. It's I don't know, that could be interesting.
Yeah,
let's see what direction they go with that.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
What do you have next?
Oh, well, I went and saw Alien Romulus this past week. Have you seen the Alien movies?
Oh, yeah. I've seen all
you
of
have?
Them.
Okay. All of them. Okay.
I love the Alien movies.
Yeah. First two are incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone after that is not so much.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I don't want to get all into that right now. But Alien Romulus, it takes place in between Alien 1 and Aliens, or, well, Alien and Aliens.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. It's a interquel. So it's not a, or it's in like a subcategory of like a mid-quel. Mm-hmm. It's actually like terminology. So mid-quel is in between like the first and second, but this is interquel because it takes place in like, I don't know. I understand. It takes place between those two movies.
Yeah.
And you know, it's a new Alien movie. They decided that we're going to return to form. We're going to go back to, you know, just creepy, scary aliens, basic plot, you know, bunch of people stuck in a ship and getting hunted down by face suckers and xenomorphs. That's basically what they did. And I mean, I'm going to do a mini review of it on our Patreon as well. So if you guys want to hear my full review of that, go check that out. There's just a couple of things about it that, like, it...
I don't know. You should just hold it off for...
Well,
vague as possible.
I will, yeah. They did a deep fake of a character. He's, Ash, I think his name, from the first movie. It's been a while since I've seen them all. But he's a synth, or like a robot human looking dude. They used his likeness. The actor has passed away, Ian Holmes. He passed away in like 2019, I think. So they went all what's his name? Who played Tarkin.
I don't remember.
I know his name. I feel so terrible. The very well-known actor who played Tarkin that they brought in Rogue One and did a deep fake of. That's like the famous one. It was like one of the first big ones that they did with a dead actor.
Yeah.
Oh, it's on the tip of my tongue. I almost came. Okay. Whatever. And they did a deep fake in this movie of a character. But it was really confusing because they could have used like any different actor or character. They should have brought like Michael Fassbender in from the Prometheus and Covenant. That would have been a lot more interesting and would have worked better. But whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And this isn't just a cameo. This character becomes an antagonist in the film and is in like half the movie, and it's a deep fake of this dead actor. And it looks terrible.
Yeah.
Like, it's not even a good deepfake. Like, it's better than Mandalorian Luke Skywalker. Mandalorian Season 2 Luke Skywalker. It's worse than that. I mean, that one was better.
You should save the rest of it for Patreon.
Okay. I'll save the rest of it. But yeah. I'm just getting into the concept of, we haven't talked about deepfakes.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you wanted to talk a little bit about or give your opinion on them. If you don't want to, keep moving, because I do have a lot to say about the
here. Pretty much the only reason we ever have them is because of our whole issue with constantly pushing sequels and all these franchises, and it just gets so unnecessary. I think unless they, you know, were like halfway through shooting and someone passes away or something, like that would be like the only time it's like, yeah, go ahead, finish makes off sense, the movie, yeah, whatever. But it's like, other Paul than Walker. That, it's what? Walker? Oh, yeah. Yeah, like Paul Walker. Yeah, there's just no need. They're trying to please the fans way too much by doing these things that just are not necessary. And it just makes you feel so uncomfortable watching it. Like,
it does.
It just feels so fake. Because it is fake. Yeah.
It takes you out of the movie. And like, the special effects in this film are incredible. they used a lot of practical effects, which I appreciated. But there's like, I don't think there's another moment in the movie where I'm like, oh, that CGI was pretty bad, or that stood out, or I could tell that CGI. It was just this one thing, and they kept it in the movie for so long. And it takes you out of the film. It's so jarring. It doesn't look good. And it wasn't even like to please the fans. No one was going into this saying, oh, I hope Ian Holmes' character comes back in a cameo. Yeah. It's like, no, we weren't. No one wanted that.
Right.
You know, like do something with Michael Fassbender. Like I said, that would have made more sense to bring him in, because they made androids or the synths look in that likeness in the past, so they can't do it again. So it's just
right.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's all.
So I got a couple more things before we jump into Lord of the Rings. I don't know if you've heard about. Have you heard of Megalopolis?
I heard about it. And didn't see the trailer. That's Adam Driver, right?
Adam Driver, there's actually a few others, but it's directed by the guy that made The Godfather
Okay.
I don't know, whatever else he's done, but so pretty big movie. But anyway, they had a bunch of backlash because they released a trailer and they put in a bunch of fake quotes from movie critics that were criticizing the director's other movies, and they got a ton of backlash, and they pulled the trailer. They deleted it completely.
They did? What?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
So it's, Francis Ford Coppola.
Oh, yeah.
Coppola. That guy. Shia LaBeouf, Aubrey Plaza.
Shia LaBeouf's acting again?
Yep. John Voy, Giancarlo Esposito, Lawrence Fishburne, and a few other pretty well-known people. But, yeah, like, huge movie, tons of people. It's like a sci-fi type movie, and, yeah, pretty big. It's got huge cast, but they got a ton of backlash for that, and so much so that they actually deleted the trailer and started apologizing for it.
I hate when people do that. It's like, if you're gonna do something that you know is gonna offend people or make people upset, I mean, you know it's going to. It's why you do it. That's why they put that in the they were putting in quotes from critics that were bashing his movies.
Yeah, saying. Yeah, but they're fake quotes.
Oh, they were fake quotes.
Yeah.
Oh.
They made them up. But they actually, said that, like, these people said these things. So, like, that, I think that's where the problem came in.
Oh. Okay.
But, yeah. I mean, I don't know why anybody tries to hide things. Like, if you're going to lie on the internet, like, someone's gonna figure it out. Like,
yeah,
I don't know if they just didn't expect people to figure that out.
Yeah,
but
people to figure that out.
Okay, quickly moving through. So, did you know that they're making another Hellboy?
Yes,
called Hellboy: The Crooked Man. There's some set photos that were released. Jack Kessie,
I love Hellboy,
is playing him.
Who?
I have no idea. Jack Kessie, never heard of him.
Oh. Jack Casey?
It's K-E-S-Y.
Okay. I did hear about this. I love Hellboy. At least the first one. And I don't know if I've seen the second one. I heard it wasn't any good. And then they did the one with David Harbour.
Yeah.
That was the reboot. I heard that wasn't really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, The Crooked Man. But, you know, like, Hellboy... Oh, wait, they released a trailer of this, right? Yeah, a little bit ago.
Not a trailer. I mean, unless it was, like, some real small teaser or something. But we haven't even seen him, the guy dressed as Hellboy yet. Like, these are set photos to give us our best look at him as Hellboy.
There's a trailer on IMDb of it, The Crooked Man. And I'm pretty sure I remember seeing the trailer a little bit ago.
Well, maybe. Okay. Lastly, now this is not a joke. I don't know. I mean, clearly you haven't heard. Otherwise, you would have said something. But This is serious. There's been not so much. A joke. But Chick-fil-A is launching a streaming service. This. Yeah.
I saw that on X when I was scrolling down, and I read it for 5 seconds, and I was like, okay. And then I didn't look into it, but.
No, it's real. They're making a streaming service to provide family-friendly content, and they're going to be teaming up with companies like Pure Flix and those guys. Of course. And yeah. There's going to be a Chick-fil-A streaming service. They better call it Flick-fil-A, otherwise there's going to be riots. And... But this is, it's real. Just keep your eye out. Chick-fil-A is making a streaming service, and this is the world we live in.
Eat more flicking.
Yep.
I don't know, that's the only thing I come up with.
Flick more good movies. I don't know. Sure. Okay. We can get into Lord of the Rings now.
Okay. Or we could just be done.
Yeah, we'll keep it short. We're already half an hour into this, so.
So, in case you didn't know, the Lord of the Rings is so patriarchal. It's all about men, and when you watch the Fellowship of the Ring, it was all men who took the ring Rivendell, I can't think of it. And it was men who were discussing what to do with the ring, and they decided that Frodo, a man, should take it and go and save the day. And then you have Rohan, and the king of Rohan is a man, and he's so masculine. It's so toxic. So why can't we have a female representation in the Lord of the Rings? Why can't we have a new Eowyn who keeps fighting, doesn't give up at the end?
Okay. I know. It's ridiculous.
So,
yeah.
Yes. So. Lord of the Rings is very patriarchal. Tolkien did that on purpose because he understood how the world works and how the world is. And patriarchal don't mean bad. Yeah. Patriarchal good. We wouldn't be here without patriarchy. I'm sure that will get quoted and thrown. No, I'm just kidding. No one cares. So did you watch the trailer?
I did.
So it's so funny. Yesterday, it was literally, actually no, today has been a long day. I had a 13-hour work day. I don't know if it was today or yesterday, but it was yesterday or today. I literally thought, oh, I wonder when we're getting a trailer for the War of the Rohirrim. It's like, I'm curious to see where they're going to go with it. I'm like, it's almost, you know, we're getting to the point where we're getting Christmas trailers for Christmas movies, except for Sonic 3. We've not gotten Sonic 3 yet. We've hardly got anything from that one. I'm waiting for that one too, but because that comes out Christmas. You know, we're getting all these November and December trailers. Okay, like, when are we getting War of the Rohirrim? I literally thought about that either yesterday or this morning. And then this afternoon, they decided to drop the first trailer for War of the Rohirrim, the movie that takes place, a couple hundred years or so before the Lord of the Rings movies, before the ring was destroyed and taken to Mordor. And we're following some actual lore in Tolkien, and lore that's not been super unpacked or elaborated on, but a lot of these characters are there, except for the main character, and anyways, they decide, okay, we're gonna make an animated Lord of the Rings. They slap the title on. It's Lord of the Rings: War of the Rohirrim. We're also gonna get Mr. Peter Jackson to come in and executive produce it, and we already talked about how that really doesn't mean anything. I still genuinely believe that they're only doing that so that they can get people in the seats,
Watch the beginning of the trailer. Like, watch the beginning of the trailer. look at how much
by Peter Jackson, and like Peter Jackson brought us the Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, and then remember those of movies? His movies, and
you remember those
the bait that they're throwing in there is like so strong.
It's right there, like, and they show clips of the Lord of the Rings.
When I watched that, I'm like,
beginning of the trailer.
I know, and then I'm like, when I was seeing that, I'm like, this trailer is gonna be so bad. Like, this show is going to be awful if this is what they're showing in the beginning of the trailer, is scenes from Lord of the Rings and telling us Peter how Jackson's Peter Jackson's right so there. Involved. So it's like, no. And
they put his name before the director's name.
Yeah, I know.
And he does have, like, actual creative, full creative control.
Yeah, and they're like, oh, yeah, and this guy's directing it.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. And the trailer... It starts off good. I liked it at the beginning. I like the animation style. Yeah. I'm not big in anime, but from the anime I've watched, I enjoy it. I think I appreciate anime for what it is. I think the Japanese do know how to tell decent stories, and they make good good animated movies, and they have really good artistic style, and an artistic style that they're consistent on throughout all their stuff, and they have a big fan base. People love anime. Lots do, and they sell millions and millions of dollars worth of books and movies and TV shows and all these things, and I appreciate it. And I even Lord of the Rings, like, okay, let's see what they can do. This director actually directed at least one Disney Star Wars content that isn't really technically Disney, that I actually like, and that was one episode of Visions called the Ninth Jedi. I think that is an really well done anime Star Wars show episode. It's short, but it's good, and I like it, and it's fun. And so he's directing a Lord of the Rings project. It's like, okay, this could be interesting. The trailer starts off. It's pretty, like I said, looks pretty good, but then it progressively just gets worse and worse and worse until the end, and I'm like, are you kidding me? What is this pile of garbage? The suspension of disbelief that you have to have that a petite, thin woman is able to hold her ground in a sword fight against men who are twice her size is unbelievable. Not only that, but I guarantee you she wins those sorts of fights.
Yeah, I know.
She's not only able to stand her own ground.
Yeah, in the trailer, she's like, I don't know what she said, but she was like, you don't want to have a sword fight against me. Like, that's essentially what she was saying.
It's like, I'm not afraid of you. Well, you should be.
Yeah, as she is like pulling her sword back to attack him. It's like, oh my gosh.
And of course her father is telling her he doesn't want her to fight, and she's like, no, I can ride.
Oh yeah, I know. So this was like literally brave. I can fight. I'm pretty sure I remember brave. I know, I was thinking saying that.
Like, this is like a Disney Pixar anime princess girl boss TV show or movie, where it's like the princess is engaged to be married to a man that she's never even met, and she doesn't love, and she says I'm not going to marry him, and she runs away and makes her own fate and goes her own way, and
it's
against the wishes of her father.
That's exactly what this show is. And is it? Yeah. It's a movie, right?
It's a movie. Yeah. Theatrical exactly release.
Yeah.
In theaters, December 13th. Man, I want this to be good. I want to like this. Is there a direction they could go that it could be decent? Sure. Yeah. She learns a lesson, and she learns that, oh, maybe fighting wasn't a good thing. Maybe I should have listened to my father. Maybe I shouldn't have done what I did and caused all this chaos and these problems that her father, because her father is supposed to he's supposed to save the day. Like, he's a King Helm is in Tolkien's lore is a very BA character who's very tough and stands his ground. He's a noble honorable king who leads his people well, and he's just a physical force to reckon with. I mean, you show he gets punched like 3 times by this guy, and then he throws one punch. I really hope that that's what it is in the movie. He just throws one punch and he kills the guy.
Yeah,
that shows the force of nature that he is. However, they're probably going to play that off as it's just toxic masculinity. He's he's overbearing and too forceful, and he needs a woman's touch or a woman to show him how it's done. and I could tell you exactly where the story's going to go. She's going to, everyone's going to say, tell her that she can't be who she wants to be. She can't be a fighter. She needs to stay home. She needs to be a mother or a good wife. She needs to stand in line. She needs to be like all the other women, and she's going to be saying no, and she's going to fight against, and her only struggle is going to be the oppression of all the white men who are going to be telling her what to do, and she's going to say no, and then she's going to find her full potential as a girl boss at the end and defeat the bad guy, kill Wolf, who our brother, Trevor, who is he loves anime. He's big in anime. And he also, loves Lord of the Rings. And he did some research and into this character. Thank you, Trevor, for doing that. But he found out that this, well, for one, and I knew this, but the girl that this is based off, she doesn't have a name in the books. She's just King Helm's daughter. But also, she is not supposed to be. So in the books, she is not a fighter. From what we can tell, she doesn't go off and fight. Mm-hmm. She doesn't save the day. She doesn't kill Wolf, who's this evil king, the antagonist of this movie. In fact, another guy kills him, and it's like, what's his name? I have to find it. It starts with an F, I know that. But anyways, this other guy is actually the one that that kills him, and not her. His name is Freyleif. Yeah. But in the movie, it's going to be her, likely. Gosh. And, maybe her father maybe she gets beaten and her father comes in and saves the day. That'd be great. But, for all those that are saying, oh, well, what about Eowyn from The Lord of the Rings? What about her? Isn't she a girl boss? Doesn't she go off against her father's wishes or her uncle's wishes to go fight? And, even though all the men were telling her, including Aragorn, that she needs to stay home and to be with her people, but she goes out and fight anyway. And then she kills the Witch King and has that incredible girl boss moment where the Witch King, announces the prophecy that no man can kill him. And she takes off her helmet and says, I am no man, and stabs him in the face, and he dies. Didn't she do all that? Of course. The problem is, the movies do not do well with her character, do not do a good job on her character, and do not portray her character well from the book. In the movie, she is a little bit of a girl boss. There really isn't any consequence to her doing that. It's seen as her being brave. It's seen as her unlocking her potential and being the hero that she wanted to be and that she desired to be, because she didn't want to stay back with her people. She wanted to go fight. She also plays a lot more prominent role in the movies than in the books. In the books, she's really only in like one or two scenes at the beginning of Two Towers, and then she doesn't come back into the story until The Return of the King, when she decides to go off and fight, which she does go off and fight, and she does kill the Witch King with the help of Mary. It's been a while since I've seen the movies. Did Mary stab him in the back, the Witch King in the back? I'm pretty sure he did.
He like cut his legs or something.
Legs. Yeah, that was it. Yeah. That's what happens in the book.
Yeah.
So Mary cuts the leg, and then he falls down, and then he says he in the books he does announce the prophecy, and she does say, well, I make known that she's not a man. She doesn't necessarily do it in the same way that they do in the movie, but right. But she does. The problem is throughout the books she is kind of a tragic character that does have a good ending. She has lost her family She's lost her parents, her brother, her nephew or her cousin, sorry, her cousin and her, and now her, her uncle, who she mm-hmm. looked up to, who was a father figure to her. She's at the point where she's lost everything, and she does want to fight, but she wants to fight kind of in a suicidal way, in a way that, like, she's just in complete despair, where she knows she's probably going to die, but she doesn't have much more to live for, so she feels like the only thing good that she can do is go out and fight. Staying back, and the book talks about how she has a conversation with Aragorn, and Aragorn, you know, tells her, you need to stay back and be with your people, and she says, why would I let other people go and fight for me and die for me, knowing that they're probably going to die, and then the evil is going to reach our home anyway. We're going to, once they die, once the people that are out there fighting for me, once Gondor falls, once Rohan falls, like, who's going to be left? The women and the children who are going to fall to Sauron anyway. So just like, kind of in like a, like, despairing moment where it's like, what's the point? And mm-hmm. in that, she does decide to go fight, but she does it. She has to hide herself. She has to disguise herself as a man. She has to go out and she actually takes the name of another soldier. Mm-hmm. I think is actually a soldier with the last name Helm. So it was someone from the line of Helm. Interesting enough, but she goes off and fight against the wishes of her uncle. But in this movie, it looks like she, despite the wishes of her father, she's going to go out and fight, and other people are going to let her fight. This is the same
mm-hmm.
place. This is the same country. This is the same people, the Rohirrims, that are not okay with a woman fighting during the Lord of the Rings, but apparently they're okay with a woman fighting here, though yeah. maybe not as much, but it's just, it's dumb.
Yeah. No, it's very dumb.
To conclude.
That being said, let's go ahead and wrap up.
Yeah. But, what happens at the end of the book is she feels a sense of loss after she kills the Witch King. It's unsatisfying to her going out and fighting, killing the Witch King, even saving the day. It was unsatisfying to her. And then she meets Faramir, after, cause she gets injured. She has to go to the House of Healing, I think it's called. And Aragorn nurses them to health, and she falls in love with Faramir. Faramir reads her a poem and talks about, nobility and so forth, and she falls in love with him, and then she decides to leave behind the life of a shield bearer. I think it's shield bearer. That's the role she took on. Mm-hmm. She leaves behind fighting to become a good wife, mm-hmm. to be at home with the people, because she knows that was the right thing to do.
Yeah,
the books make it clear that her going off to fight was the wrong decision, the wrong mm-hmm. thing. It was unsatisfying. It was unfulfilling.
Yeah,
and what she needed to do was be home and to be a good wife and to find her king and her lord in Faramir.
No, for sure.
And that's it. Movies go a different route. And okay.
All right. Well, thank you guys for listening. We thank you for your support, and we hope you enjoyed this episode. We covered a lot of different things here again, and we hope you're being mindful of what you're watching, what you're consuming, and don't let these truly toxic stories enter into you and be a part of your mind, and watch good stuff, watch stuff that's glorifying to God, and glorify God and watch good movies, as we always say. Mm-hmm. Thank you. We're out.
Thank you all.
Bye.
Bye.